assuming you're on medication that can lower sugar, most of us, we get a warning. So the blood sugar doesn't drop just like that. You get a bit tired, you get a bit hungry, you run out and get food. And that's how you correct it. But imagine you're asleep. You have about 8 to 10 hours of no food. And so you're asleep, you're very tired, you may not realize it. And the danger you have, which is very real, is A, you don't get up because your blood sugars drop overnight, and that can be potentially extremely dangerous. Mm-hmm. Or in the elderly, you wake up and you try and reach for something, and because you're a bit older, your eyesight's not so good, your balance is not so good, and you fall down and you break something. So the ability to monitor the sugars, not only to alert the person's blood, whose blood sugar is being measured, but to alert the carers to say, hang on a second, mom's blood sugar is dropping now. Let me go to mom now, give her something to drink, correct the low sugar. And I think that can be potentially life-saving in many situations.
It seems like we're very close to that potentially. And it could happen in the next couple of years, we're hoping, in terms of medical research. Because like you said, your carers can be notified, the middle of the night situation, and you can see that pattern, that long-term pattern that doctors can hopefully establish some kind. If you were able to see a daily pattern of somebody real-time, what could that help you do in terms of treating them?
I mean, I think, let's start by saying, actually, we do have something like that already. We don't measure sweat, though. Mm. We measure what we call interstitial fluid. So it's just underneath the skin. The advantage of the sweat patch is that you just put it over the skin. It doesn't puncture the skin at all. All devices at the moment, there's a little plastic tubing that goes underneath the skin and it measures the sugar in the water underneath the skin. So we do have something like that, but obviously it's still slightly invasive. But being able to look at this data, it really helps us by A, educating the patient to say, listen, you know, you ate this, look at how high your sugar went. Let's try to avoid that. Or if your sugars go too low, listen, you're taking too much medication. We need to adjust it accordingly, or you need to adjust your meals and so forth along the way. Just one thing to add, though. I think at the moment, the concern we have is that what I don't want people to think is, oh, this is the era where we need to throw away the finger prick sugars. Now,
I was going to say, maybe we should. Doesn't it lead to... I've done interviews with diabetics who say like they've lost sensation in their finger because they pricked so much over the years. I've spoken to young diabetics who say that when they do this in the school, they get bullied because their friends are like, oh, you're doing something illegal, like you're taking an illegal substance, you know, that kind of thing. Like, it's got stigma, it's got pain attached to it. Maybe we should do away with it.
Well, we can't at the moment. I wish we could, to be honest, but the problem is that these devices, although they are accurate in their own right, there are many circumstances where they may not be. It's just like the sweat that you have. Imagine you're sweating a lot when you're exercising. Yeah. My concern is, how accurate is it? Or in a case where there's huge temperature differences, where the blood supply reaching up to the tissue, the superficial tissue, may be impacted, your blood sugars, your sensor may not be reading this as well. So during times where you're not quite sure, I think you still need to check your finger prick. It's not, we haven't reached that level of technology where we can say, let's throw this out the window, let's embrace this. But I think the time is coming. I think the time is coming where these things are becoming more accessible, more accurate, and more importantly, as more people start to use it, cheaper. So soon, I believe that most patients with diabetes will be using these devices to really monitor and control their sugars.
Now, this particular innovation for NTU, again, the idea is it's not something that the consumer will be able to use so easily because you still need a machine or device at the hospital to reveal the result in that sense. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a space for something like that? Quick, real-time monitoring, especially at a hospital level, it could shorten queues, shorten waiting times, potentially help.
Absolutely. I think this is the beginning of things here. You know, looking at the level of colors, I mean, you can get a machine to put that, if you can correlate the shade of color to the level of sugar, then you're really going somewhere here. I think this is again very exciting, and just like all research, I think this is the beginning of something where we need to build on. The ability to show a smiley face and all that more or less tells you that the sugar levels, they are accurate enough to know what is good and what is bad. Mm. Now the question then is, how good is good, and can we put a number to that? Because if we can put a number to that, we are really moving forward and really getting things done here. And so the next step is, how do we make it available to the normal population, or even in a hospital where we just do that and we don't need a finger prick anymore.
I also think we're getting closer to what you have spoken to my listeners about so often on my show, which is that it's about very bespoke treatment. You are treating your condition. It's not diabetics as a whole. It's you're knowing your pattern, you're knowing your blood glucose levels, and you're treating yourself in that right way that's very bespoke to you.
Yeah, I think because it's educational. I think what these sensors actually do, which I think is very, very important, is to understand. Because last time what people did was they just pricked your finger and there was no reason, there was no thought behind it.
Yeah.
Imagine if you had a device which tells you your sugar, and you went out today, you drank some bubble tea, some char kway teow, and you saw your sugars skyrocket. Subconsciously think, oh my goodness, this is not something I'm going to consume again.
Yeah.
And this is something you learn. And research has shown us we don't actually eat more than 30 different kinds of food when you're not on holiday. So if you really break that down psychologically, oh, this is bad, this is good. And this will actually create real behavioral change, not someone that, hey, you don't eat this, you don't eat that. People, it's hard to...
Because you see it for yourself on your device. It's like, oh wow, I just ate that and this just happened.
Yeah, exactly. So that will promote behavioral change, because all you need is to actually talk to from a medical perspective, to talk to the patient, listen, this is how you interpret it. You look at it before, you go and eat, you do this, you exercise and so forth. What is the impact of this activity or food on your sugar? And if it's good, adopt it more. If it's bad, think very carefully if you need to do it again. So the ability to monitor sugars or anything, your impact of activity and lifestyle on this is incredible.
It could be a huge game changer. It really could. I'm going to leave things there because we're out of time. Dr. Ng, a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
All right. Take care.
Dr. Ben Ng, the endocrinologist at Arden Endocrinology Specialist Clinic. It's Health Matters.